This morning's reading is from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36 to chapter 11, verse 2. As Amanda said, that starts in your church Bibles on page 1209. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Trev. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Great to see you this morning. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we praise you and we worship you this morning. We thank you that when our faith is placed in you, it is well placed. As we look at your word together, would you teach us what it means to be people of faith and mature us and grow us in you. So come by your Spirit, Lord. Give us hearts that are tender to receive. May we be people that are willing to follow you and live for you wholeheartedly. Amen. 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 Well, as Amanda said, we're in this season of Lent, this season of taking a bit of time and maybe giving attention to our hearts, really, to our walk with the Lord. And I wonder how that's going for you so far. I wonder what Lent looks like for you. I've got a confession to make. I'm the sort of person that thinks, yeah, Lent is a good time to maybe give something up or take something up. And I'm still wondering what to do. I'm still wondering what to do. And I'm thinking there's going to be a book that I need to read through Lent. Maybe that's you this morning. And maybe today is an opportunity for you to say, actually, this is how I'm going to approach Lent this year. This is how. I wonder how it looks for you this year. I wonder how Lent looks for a person of faith. For a person of faith, what Lent is all about. Is it different to those who would consider themselves to be people of faith? And what does it mean to be a person of faith anyway? I wonder if you consider yourself to be a person of faith. In one sense, we are all constantly in the business of placing our faith into somebody or something, aren't we? Anyone drive here this morning to church? Yeah, so you're putting your faith in the engine running, in the steering wheel, moving the wheels in the right direction, putting your faith in the other drivers on the road that they will drive sensibly and safely near you, aren't you? Anybody on? Well, I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up, but if maybe you're on medication. I had a virus this last week and I had to go to the doctors and got a prescription from the chemist. I'm placing my faith in that GP. I'm placing my faith in that chemist because I have no idea what it is I'm putting into my body. I'm trusting them, placing my faith in them to give me good advice, to help me to get better. We are all placing our faith in things and people every day, aren't we? And sometimes that faith is rewarded. And sometimes we're disappointed. Came across this quote the other day from a philosopher called Alan Watts. To have faith is to trust yourself to the water. When you swim, you don't grab hold of the water, because if you do, you will sink and drown. Instead, you relax and float. To have faith in somebody, to have faith in something, there's something about giving yourself to them or to it, isn't there? There's a bit of a commitment there to trust yourself completely to them, to it, to fall in to that person, that thing. It's a bit like sitting on the chair that you're sitting on this morning. You simply have to trust that chair is going to support you. You have to give yourself to it and put your faith into it. Sometimes chairs let us down, don't they? Praise the Lord for good, strong chairs this morning, I say. So we're in one sense, we're all people of faith. But when it comes to our relationship with God, when do we reach that status of being a person of faith? Is there like a level of faith that we need to reach before we can be called a person of faith? I was pondering on this and I was reminded of Jesus' words in Matthew 17, where Jesus says, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move." Jesus uses the example of a mustard seed. To his hearers, it represented the very smallest of things, a diameter of 1 to 2 millimeters. What's Jesus saying about faith here? Jesus is saying that to concentrate on the level of our faith, the amount of our faith, to try really, really hard to have loads of faith is a mistake. Because it's not about the quality or the size or the level of our faith. It's about the object of our faith. Our faith is only as strong as the object in which it's placed. Think again about the chair that you sat on. We can have huge faith in a chair, but if it's a weak chair, it's going to collapse, isn't it? Conversely, we can have a little faith in Almighty God and be confident that we will not be let down, and be confident in His goodness, in His mighty power. Another quote I came across from R.T. France, who writes a great commentary on Matthew's Gospel. He says it's important to observe here with what Jesus is saying about faith. It's not the amount of faith which brings the impossible within reach. It's the power of God which is available to even the smallest faith. So we can have a small amount of faith in our huge God, and we will see great things happen. Now, this letter to the Hebrews was written primarily to new Jewish Christians. They knew their scriptures, they knew the law. They'd been taught that the way to please God, to be right with God, is by obedience to the law. It's by doing the right thing. It's being right with God by works, by the things that they did. But we know, of course, that our works are never enough. We cannot earn our way into God's presence. And these new Christians, they discover that they've been saved by grace, by the undeserved love of God poured out for them as Jesus hung on the cross, as Jesus shed his blood for them, dying that they may be saved, that they may be freed, that they may be forgiven and washed clean. And the writer of this letter is urging these new Christians to not go back to their old ways, not go back to those ways of trying to be right with God by what we do, by our works, but to stick with their newfound faith, to have faith in Jesus' death on that cross, to stay obedient to Jesus Christ. So in chapter 10 in my Bible, at verse 19, it's headed "A Call to Persevere." The writer wants to encourage these Christians to persevere, to keep going. And they need faith, faith in God to do that. So verse 23 says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess." 24, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on. Let us not give up. Let us encourage one another." Do you get the picture? This is a letter to encourage these new Christians. "Don't throw away your confidence," he says. And verse 36, where our reading started today, "You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised." Then the writer quotes the prophet Habakkuk and says, "Don't shrink back. Don't be like those who shrink back. Be like those who believe and are saved." Trev read it from the newer version of the New International Version translation, which says, doesn't say, "Be like those who believe, be those who have faith and are saved." Don't be like those who shrink back and are destroyed, who lose out. Be like those who have faith and are saved. And then we get to chapter 11, this brilliant chapter, this hall of fame of these heroes of the faith, all from the Old Testament, all from the pre-Christian era. Remember who this letter is written to, these new Jewish Christians. They would have been really familiar with these people and their stories. And he goes through just these stories, just quickly skipping over them and just bringing out what happens, what happened for these people as they lived by faith. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, all these giants of the faith. Moses. Moses' parents get a look in here. Rahab. And then in chapter 12, we get to Jesus. He writes, since we're surrounded by this great example, these witnesses, these examples of faith, let us run with perseverance. There's that word again, persevere. And fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. He's saying, remember the example of these heroes and heroines of faith who kept going and looked to Jesus, who wrote the book on faith, who shows us what perfect faith looks like. He wants to encourage the believers to keep going, to stick with it, and to not be afraid of using their little tiny mustard seed of faith. Back to the end of chapter 10. Don't be people who shrink back and are destroyed. Be people who believe and are saved. Be people who have faith and are saved. So we get to this verse at the beginning of 11, and we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at these two phrases. This description of faith, it's not a full definition of what faith is, but it describes what it means to live as people of faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And it's this faith that pleases God. It's this faith that pleases God. Faith in God isn't something that we can just casually agree with, is it? If our faith in God is well placed, then it's got to affect all of our lives, hasn't it? If it means anything, then it must affect everything. So faith affects how we live, and it affects how we look in two different directions. It affects as we look to the future, and it affects us as we look in the here and now and the present. This verse again, chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. That's looking to the future. And faith is being certain of what we do not see. I think that's looking at today, at now. So we're going to look at these two phrases very briefly this morning. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. It affects how we live faith in God, because we live with our eyes on the future, looking ahead. As people of faith, we're believing that there is a better future ahead, that there is a better day ahead. Amanda spoke last week, closing our sermon series on heaven touching earth. Amanda spoke on looking ahead to a new heaven and a new earth, living with that just in sight, just ahead of us. She talked about that Greek word used for new, which means brand new. It's not just an upgrade or an improvement. It's something that is brand new. We live with the hope of a better future, believing that the best is yet to come. And the heroes and the heroines that are listed in chapter 11, they didn't just accept the world that they saw in front of them. They were believing God for something better. They were living for a future that they couldn't see, but they believed in, that they could have confidence in. That's why people of faith live like aliens and strangers on earth, looking at verse 13. It's why people of faith are looking for a country of their own, longing for a better country, believing for this better future that God has prepared for them. Being sure of what we hope for by faith means that we know we're going somewhere. We're on a journey. That life isn't static. This isn't all there is. But we're straining ahead towards something better, towards a better day. If you like, we're on a pilgrimage, moving towards a better future. A better future where there will be no more death, or crying, or mourning, or illness. Where we will dwell with God, and God will dwell with us. Paul expands on this in 2 Corinthians 4. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So we live believing and trusting in a better day, in a better future, rather than trusting in this flimsy, transient world around us, the assurance that the world sometimes seeks to give to us. What a relief that is, and what good news this is. I hope that's good news for you this morning, that we have a better hope, that this is temporary. Changes our perspective completely, doesn't it, of death. Changes our perspective of life. Changes our perspective of troubles. Paul writes of light and momentary troubles, because this is temporary. That situation that you're struggling with, maybe there's something you're praying for that you're not seeing a change in. Maybe you feel just weighed down with looking at the world and what's happening across the world. And maybe there's things closer to home. There is a better future. This will not stay like this forever. This is temporary. We live as people of faith, looking ahead to a better future. The best is yet to come. The challenge, however, is that we can't see it really, can we, today? We can't fully see this future we're living for. We may see glimpses of it here and there. We see evidence of God's kingdom breaking in. Praise God for those moments. But we don't fully see it yet. We can believe it, we can have confidence in it, but we don't fully see it yet. Chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We look ahead, but we also look to today. We look to the present, and faith affects how we see today. People of faith don't simply ignore the present and just live for the future. That would be daft, wouldn't it? That would be silly. And that would be to deny that God is with us here today, that his kingdom is breaking in. So living by faith means that we see the present through this lens of eternity, that we trust that the God of eternity is here with us today. And surely that's going to impact how Christians live, how we live with this different perspective, aware of God's kingdom breaking in, living for eternity rather than just for today. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. As I prepared this, I was reminded of the story of the prophet Elisha in 2 Kings. Some of you may be familiar with it. The prophet Elisha is causing problems for the king of Aram, who wants to attack the Israelites. And God keeps revealing to the prophet Elisha where the king of Aram is going to attack, so the Israelites can avoid that place, and they move on and they avoid attack. And the king of Aram's officers work out it's Elisha that God's speaking to, so we need to capture him. We need to get him. And early one morning, Elisha's servant gets up, looks outside, and sees King Aram's army surrounding him. Horses, chariots ready to attack, ready to capture him. And in a great moment of understatement, Elisha's servant says, "Oh no. Oh no. What shall we do?" Looks to Elisha, and Elisha sees this present situation very differently. Again, chapter 11, verse 1. Elisha has certainty over what he does not see. So Elisha prays, Lord, open my servant's eyes that he may see. And God opens the servant's eyes and he sees an army that dwarfs King Aram's army. He sees the Lord's horses and chariots of fire surrounding them, protecting them, standing guard over them. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, this better future, and certain of what we do not see today. For the God of eternity is with us, is with you today. He watches over you. He stands guard over you. He protects you. There was a worship song doing the rounds recently called Surrounded. It may feel like I'm surrounded by enemies, by people coming to attack me. But the truth is, I'm surrounded by you, Almighty God. I'm surrounded by you, Eternal God. What a different perspective that is. That's the perspective of faith. I asked at the beginning, what does Lent look like for you? What does it look like for people of faith? What does it look like for some of us who are still working out what we're going to do as we go through Lent? Maybe we could use Lent this year to lift our eyes to Jesus, to look to the author and perfecter of our faith. Maybe we could look to him that we may live believing that there is a better future ahead, remembering that there is a better future ahead. Just picturing it, spending time contemplating that, imagining that prayerfully, believing the best is yet to come. But also, may we live knowing that the God of eternity is with us, is surrounding us, is close by today. Maybe you're struggling a bit with your faith at the moment. Maybe you're finding it hard to trust God. Maybe there are mountains in your life that are not moving. Maybe you're tempted to place your faith elsewhere, in somebody else or something else. I believe this morning the Lord wants to say, don't shrink back. Don't throw that away. You've come this far. Persevere. Keep going. Have a read through Hebrews 11 later today. Look at these wonderful stories of faith, of what God does with a little bit of faith, when we place a little bit of faith in him. And fix your eyes on Jesus. Just spend time looking to him. Trust God. Because a little bit of faith in God is enough. Because he is more than enough for us. Should we just pray? Lord, would you give us that gift of faith today? Those of us here today who are struggling in faith, would you give us that gift of faith? Would you help us to place a small amount of faith in you, mighty God, powerful God, compassionate, gracious, loving, close God. Thank you that we can be sure of what we hope for, a better future. Show us, Lord, remind us of that better future, that this is temporary. Help us to live with our eyes on eternity. Help us to be preparing ourselves for eternity. And remind us that you're with us today, Lord. Remind us that you, God of eternity, are with us, surrounding us today, we pray. We worship you. Help us to live as people of faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen.